It was October 28th in the year 1958. Angelo Roncalli, who was then the Archbishop of Venice, was elected Pope by the College of Cardinals. He was asked two questions. The first was, "Do you accept?" The second question was, "By what name do you wish to be known?" The new Pope answered the first with a yes, and the second question with this reply, "I will be called John." He explained that he loved the name John because it had been the name of the two men in the Gospels who were closest to Jesus, John the Baptist and John the Evangelist. So at 6:08 p.m., Cardinal Canali announced from the balcony of the Papal Palace that there was a new Pope and his name would be John. Today we recall the birth of one of the men that was closest to Jesus and one of the men that John the 23rd admired, John the Baptist. Let's agree on this. Prophets aren't like the rest of us. They never are. We're told in the Gospel today about the unusual circumstances surrounding the birth of John the Baptist. Born to parents past their prime, an angel shows up to announce what is going on, and then the break from family tradition by his parents choosing the name John. We overhear the townspeople surprised at the break of tradition when they say, "But there is no one among your relatives who has that name." All these oddities set the stage for the life of this prophet who lived in the desert and who dined on bugs. We know his oddball ways continued because prophets are oddballs. Years ago, there was a play called Mass Appeal. It's about an older priest, Father Tim, who has a seminarian assigned to him whose name was Mark. Father Tim was the type of person that never rocked the boat. Mark, the seminarian, on the other hand, seemed destined to upset the status quo. In time, Father Tim comes to see something special in that young man, Mark. When Mark asks the older priest why he even tries to help him, Father Tim says, "Because you're a lunatic." And then he continues, "And you know, the church needs lunatics. And you are one of those priceless lunatics that comes along every so often and makes the church alive." And makes the church alive. We'd be right to assume that many people thought John the Baptist was a lunatic. And that's because he just wasn't like everybody else. If we had to nail down the central characteristics of prophets like John, it's this. They tell the truth. They put truth out there when we'd much rather keep untidy truths hidden away, out of sight. Their hearts are attuned to the same frequency as God's heart. And as a result, they know with a painful clarity what is right and what is wrong in this world. So they tell it like it is. Think of how John the Baptist told people to quit lying or cheating others. Or later day prophets like Martin Luther King, who called out a nation for its prejudice towards people of color. Or like Oscar Romero in El Salvador, who challenged the rich for their abuse of the poor. Or like Dorothy Day, who spoke unpleasant truths about poverty, injustice, and war to those who held power. It's very much like a biblical scholar said some years ago when he was talking about prophets. He said that those in power like to block out the cries of the denied ones in this world. Then along comes the prophet who stands up to them and speaks out loud the pain that is in the heart of God when he sees the suffering of these same overlooked people. The prophet, that man said, gives words to the care, the suffering, and the anger of God in the face of wrongs being done to people who cannot speak for or defend themselves. That man is right, of course. Prophets are truth tellers because they speak aloud what is in the heart of God. It makes sense then that in a sinful world, prophets die young. An untimely and often a very ugly death comes to the one who takes on the powerful of this world on behalf of the God of the powerless. We know John was just in his 30s when he crossed ways with Herod and Herodias. The Reverend King was in his late 30s when an assassin's bullet ended his voice. Robert Kennedy was 41 years old when his voice for justice was silenced. We can safely say that prophets rarely die in their beds. We don't find it in the biblical tradition, and we don't find it in our times either. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who spoke out against the forced labor camps of communist Russia, he made it to old age, but the reason was he fled Russia. A Russian newspaper once offered this proposal for what to do with this troubling preacher. Give him mothballs and more mothballs and put him to rest. The newspaper just said what many people felt. We don't like what the prophet tells us about ourselves, about who we are as a people. And if we don't kill them literally, we certainly kill them by labeling them. We call them names, any name that will discredit what they're saying. Un-American being a current example. That way we don't have to listen to what they say. John the Baptist is a classic example. Prophets don't live happily ever after. So it's only right that we give John the Baptist his proper due today. He benefits from the hindsight of history, as do all prophets. As we hear again the clear voice that he gave to the concerns of God and the need for us to change our ways, we may want to remember something a wise person once said of just such prophets. He asks the question, why do they rock the boat? And he answered, because it's stuck in the mud.